Hey, leaders, listeners, and life's most curious people, this is Meaningful Mischief. Three entrepreneurs in pursuit of bringing our best, giving the most, and having fun along the way. No overnight successes, scaling hacks, or planning models here. Just a conversation about what we're learning and loving about meaning, impact, health, wealth, and everything in between. This is Meaningful Mischief. Let's jump in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, gentlemen. So, hello, James, Mary. How much sleep did you get last night?
Last night wasn't a good night for me. I actually had two glasses of wine. Even one completely throws it for me. And even though I know this, and I keep saying stop drinking, because it does have an impact, not just on the sleep, but then the following day and everything, that even 2 days. So I probably had, maybe 7 hours. So okay. So quantity was good and decent, but quality was down. And I actually used to track everything. I had Whoops, I had Auras. And for me, what I didn't like was, and we talked about this in the last podcast, but the habits of when I have these tracking devices, I wake up the next morning, the first thing I then go to is, let me look at my phone to see how good my sleep was. And it was almost like I was getting a device to almost tell me how my day was going to go in terms of performance, which I didn't like. So I kind of ditched the device. I know, which we can get into in a moment, but I know some of the things that I can work on to have better night's sleep, to either prepare me in advance or the things to work on. So,
right on. Well, I feel all those things too. So the topic today is sleep and how we do it. How we track it, how to get better sleep, what we think about all of that, how it affects our days and our lives. So I have a Whoop too, and I wake up every morning and the first thing I do, check out my sleep.
But you know,
I totally do. And most of the time, I do get upset at times, but most of the time it tells me I had a better sleep than I thought I had. Because I think, you know—
So what did you all say this morning?
I had 7 hours. And three of it was restorative, and I was up for a bit, but I'm okay with that. The night before was worse. And so I'm like, you know, 7 hours is not so bad. 3 hours of restorative, I can do this, you know? So more often than not, it gives me a good picture, a better picture than I think I had. And it keeps me super honest about the drinking part too, because if I can have like one glass of wine at like 5 o'clock in the afternoon and then go to bed at 10 and I'm fine, but anything else, my heart rate's higher, my heart rate variability is lower, my sort of restorative sleep is lower, and all of that. So I'm way more dialed in to the effects of what I do. Mostly it's alcohol. Mm-hmm. Like I don't eat late at night and stuff like that, but And that keeps me more dialed into, like, you know, I don't think I want to have a glass, or I definitely don't want a second glass kind of thing. So for me, it's a positive. I don't obsess over it. And it keeps me focused on the things that matter to me. You know, how about you, Stel? How'd you sleep last night?
I slept too much last night.
Really? What does that look like? I don't know that. I don't know that.
I got back from San Diego, so very busy weekend. And last night was, I think, the total collapse, because I fell asleep at like, I don't know, 6:30. Woke up at 8:30, went back to sleep at 10 o'clock, woke up at 6:30, which is atypical. But my body was just exhausted.
And you needed it.
I needed it. But it's
Do you sleep well, typically? Mm-hmm. And just in life, your whole life? No problem. Sleep's good.
No problem. I go to sleep in a flash. I stay asleep and I get up.
That's a superpower, my friend. Because I've not always been a good sleeper. When I was in right after university, I did a post grad, and I had to like get up at like 5 a.m. and drive, you know, an hour away to go to the class. And I got all in my head. My university schedule was like started at 11 a.m. and I waitressed at night and stuff like that. So it flipped my whole kind of rhythm upside down. And I got this like crazy bout of insomnia. Some nights I couldn't fall asleep, or I'd wake up at like midnight and then be up the entire next day. Like brutal. Like you feel like you're insane. They did a study. I took a first year psychology class in university, and they did a study with cats, and they took out their hypothalamus, and then the cats couldn't fall asleep and they just went crazy. And so
Oh,
I
wow.
would say at the time I was terrible. They might not do that anymore.
Hopefully not.
But yeah, terrible, terrible. But I would always say that I was like a cat without a hypothalamus. Like you're just like, I am so exhausted and my head is going crazy and I just can't stop thinking. And so I tried so many things, ended up going to the doctor and got some, prescription meds to help. I didn't take it too often. I didn't really like how it felt, but at least it would break a sleep, like a cycle of 3 nights in a row of not sleeping or whatever. So, that was, helpful just to have that safety net. And then ever since then, my monkey brain, it flares up sometimes in the middle of the night, and depending on what's going on in life and stress and busy schedule. Probably as a woman too, the hormone schedule too, depending on where I am in my cycle, I'm sure that wakes me up in the middle of the night, and lots of people talk about that. So, and then good or bad, there's a huge focus on sleep right now in the world. And so people are, in a good way, focused on how important it is. In a bad way, it's probably stressing a lot of people out because they don't get sleep. It's like, well, all those stressful conditions, high blood pressure, blah, 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 that you're experiencing, just get better sleep. And then people get nervous about that. And like you become anxious about not getting enough sleep, and then you can't sleep. It's brutal.
Yeah,
How about you, James? Are you a good
look.
sleeper?
Yeah, I unfortunately, yeah, I think a big part of it comes down to whether or not it's genetic or but I've always slept well. I've always slept deep, and I don't really move around much in the night. So that's kind of like a nice indication. And I need, and we're all different, but I need about 7 to 8 hours for me to feel like I've had a full charge. Even if I have super great 4 or 5 hours sleep, that's just not enough. But yeah, I've
I'm the
always slept
same.
well, and I think the importance of sleep, like for me, is massive. As a I'm now in four in my 40s, and I could in university and in the 20s get away with 2 3 hours sleep if I had to, and still perform 90% the following day. I could go out and have alcohol and still have a really good day the next day. Now I just cannot. And so getting a good night's sleep is really important, like the quantity and quality. And it really does make a big difference in terms of not just how I feel the next day or the next 48 hours, but also my meetings, how I perform, how I can visualize things, how I can communicate with clients, the type of questions that like it makes for me like a massive difference on work and personal life, and the impact that I could have on, the people around.
Totally. It's crazy. When I had kids, and you don't sleep much when you have little babies at home. I remember feeling like if I could get 5 hours sleep, I could move mountains, because that was like a huge plus in that time of life. I know about how you guys manage that period, but I'm the same between seven. If I and I try not to set an alarm now. I sort of built my life and the business around. I try not to have meetings that are too early so that I can kind of have that routine and wake up whenever I wake up. Now, I wake up between 5 and 6 because I go to bed between 9 and 10. So, and if I wake up naturally, it's usually between 7 and 8 hours. Fun fact for you, only 28% of people sleep 8 hours. Only 28%. So 8 hours is kind of like, and then I don't know if you guys have heard of the book by Matthew Walker called Why We Sleep. He's super fascinating, and he does this really good TED talk about talks about sleep. So, a bunch of the stats I think I have from there. But only 28% of us are getting what we would call enough sleep. And another fun fact, that lack of sleep mimics blood alcohol concentration. So 24 hours without sleep is a 0.10%, 21 hours without sleep is a 0.08%, and 18 hours is a 0.05%. alcohol level. So it's like you're drunk. 24 hours without sleep, you hit the legal limit. Like, you should not be driving, you should not be, you know, operating heavy machinery, and lots of people do that. So
that's interesting. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd prefer to have 0.1 of alcohol than go without 24 hours of sleep.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So a couple thoughts that are coming up for me. You know, you hear how much sleep should you have, right? And everybody's like, oh, it should be 8 hours, right? You can't determine what that is because there's so many factors that are involved, including, James, you alluded to quality of sleep, right? And it's kind of like saying, you know, it's, I don't know, 22 degrees in this space right now. For one person, it's cold. For another person, it's too warm. Right. Yeah. Why? Because there's a lot of things that are going on internally to have that experience. Right. And, you know, the question is, how do we maintain the quality of the sleep and then maximize the quantity according to what you need? Right. Because, again, everybody's different with
it's
regards.
True that everybody, it's yeah, true ahead. That everybody's different, but there's so many people out there that are like, I can function on 3 hours and I'm amazing. Well, that's like the frog that was boiled in the water slowly versus the one that was thrown into the boiling pot. Like, you get used to how much you have and you get used to what that feels like to function, but you don't necessarily know the cost it's having on you internally. Right. So yes, like, but if we all were left to our own devices and there was no stress and there were no schedules and the whatever, and we all just like fell asleep and woke up, we wouldn't all fall asleep at the same time and wake up at the same time. But there's pretty strong research that says, like, even less than 7 hours of sleep per night, you're three times more likely to get for over a 2 week period. So less than 7 hours over a 2 week period, you're three times more likely to get sick when exposed to a cold virus. So things like, and people don't make those associations, right? Like, no, I know that for myself, like late night out on a weekend with friends and you get like 4 hours and then by Wednesday I'm getting a cold, you know?
Yeah. Your immune system's down. Yeah.
So yeah, we're all different and we all probably need a little bit more focus on sleep.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, you know, and again, you alluded to it, 3 hours. So you meet someone that sleeps for 3 hours and has a lot of energy. What we don't know is he could be meditating for 1 to 2 hours every day, and quieting the mind is sleeping, really. And all you need to do is lie down and have your body relax, or the physical body relax. So there's so many factors and variables that I think we're going to talk about in terms of what we need to consider in order to maintain the quality of the sleep, right? Because you can have, like, meditation is a big one. A lot of people don't do it. They don't know how to do it. If you have the ability to meditate, you're basically putting your mind in a sleep state, okay? Which all that needs to happen afterwards is make sure that your physical body just lies down. You don't even need to actually sleep. You just lie there, which is kind of nuts if you think about it, right? The other thing that came up is environment, right? Because what's happening in the world right now and why everybody's talking about sleep is that there's so many disruptors that stimulate our neurology and put a fight or flight response or a dopamine hit all the time, right? You can't sleep when you're on dopamine. Like, you're on, your brain's on all the time, which means you're constantly thinking, you're constantly waking up. You think you're sleeping, you're not sleeping well. You know, all those have a factor, especially in today's environment. Like, you know, you mentioned that you wake up and the first thing you do is you look at your Whoop, right? Well, you're thinking about it before you even wake up, right? So if it's the first response, something's triggering your thought process to not be sleeping and doing other things.
I don't know about that. Now that I track my sleep, I track my sleep for over 2 years now, I know I'm getting more sleep than I got before because I'm focused on it. Like, you know, how do you get good sleep? Quieting the mind's absolutely part of that. There's all kinds of good tips around sleep hygiene, like taking all the electronics out of the room and having no lights and using an eye mask and all of those things and not doing anything. Like, I don't work. Like, I'd rather work through dinner and then stop at 7 o'clock if I have to work a long day, then, you know, lots of people will, like, you know, stop for dinner and they maybe have young kids. I don't have young kids anymore, but, and then sort of get the laptop out later at night and stuff. And I don't do that. So the sleep hygiene that sort of gets the body into the mode, like, even huge one is waking up in the morning and standing outside in the sunlight. It's like 100 or 200 times brighter, like just like going from inside this room where there's big windows to standing outside in the sun and letting your eyes get used to that sunlight just for 10 minutes. And that sort of resets your circadian rhythms or something like that. Andrew Huberman's super into that stuff. There's something.
If you take the shoes off as well, you'll probably double the amount of impact. Like
the whole ground right?
I didn't... Yeah.
Oh, that's cool too. Yeah. So there's lots of strategies and tactics for it. What do you guys do?
James?
So for me, I made some notes because obviously over the years I've trialed quite a few things, and as I said, like I was fortunate that my kind of baseline has always been a good sleeper anyway. But I have had periods of, you know, stress and anxiety, and then, you know, whether or not it's work, whether or not it's relationships, whether or not it is, you know, moving country, all of these things, and traveling around. Like, travel is also a big thing, and obviously, you know, I'm in the Middle East now, but I come over once a quarter and hang out with you two crazy people, you know, in different time zones and stuff, because that's like 8 hours different. So these things do, you know, upset the rhythm that you get. And I think the circadian rhythms, that's one of the most important things, right? They said, you know, consistency of, it's not just about the hours of sleep that you have. I think, and I don't know what the statistic would be on this, and it'd be interesting to see, but I'd probably say that if you went to sleep at the same time or tried to go, because it's like, isn't it like a 45 minute window, an hour, yeah. 45 to 1 hour minute window of the ideal time to go to sleep and wake up. And almost if that was, let's say, 6 hours, but you managed to go to sleep and wake up at the same time, as opposed to having maybe 7.5, but having a variable time to sleep and wake up, I'd probably say the consistency would outweigh that extra 1 or 2 hours, because they're big into. So I try to wind down at the same time. Yeah. I try to make sure that I'm not looking at any devices, which I struggle with sometimes.
I'm terrible at night.
Yeah, it's not good. The blue light thing, there's some interesting studies that have come out that have actually said it doesn't really have that much of an impact on the sleep. Like, they say that they do, but it there's some studies.
Mm-hmm.
But what I try to do is I do journal in the evening. And for me, that's an important thing, because I can just brain dump. So I don't feel like subconsciously I am holding anything through the night and trying to work out anything through the night. So I'm just brain dumping. And then I do
what
always
time do you
try
do that?
To... I have it by the side of my bed.
Like right so before bed?
Yeah, right before bed.
Okay.
So I kind of get everything off. One other thing that I made a note of some things that I tried to do is, like, never go to sleep on an argument. And that's something I always try to do, because that I have carried with me throughout the night. And I wake up and I'm going, oh, why have I had this argument or whatever. So if it's with your partner or if it's with somebody, I just try to just, look, let's not fall out. Let's just, you know, I don't want to go to sleep on, you know, on a bad vibe. So I try to kind of release all of that. Journal, you know, not doing any technology stuff. And dark lights. I like, you know, AC on and really dark rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then just try to make sure as much as possible have the same routine and then get up the same time every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. I the dark thing, I bring an eye. The two things I pack first when I travel is the eye mask and my JBL speaker, because I want to play white noise through the speaker, or actually brown noise specifically, through the speaker in my room. So it's almost like I'm on a plane when I'm in my hotel room.
What the hell is brown noise?
Yeah, what's brown noise?
Oh, it's like white noise, but better. It's like this kind of low hum. Like, you know, you have air conditioning on or a fan on or something like that. It's that kind of thing. And you can get the app. It's called White Noise. It's a free app on in the App Store. And they have like white noise, pink noise, brown noise. I think they have green noise, but brown noise is like a lower pitch. And you know, I've talked to people. We've talked to people who actually know the frequency that they listen to throughout the night. And I don't know why. I'm sure it is a certain pitch, frequency, whatever. But brown is the one that's most calming. And my dad used to travel a lot growing up, so he had noise machines, like where there were actually like machines that you would put on your bedside table and plug in, and it would play this white noise. And so I've had, you know, forever known about it. And now, like, when our kids were born, we made sure they all had noise machines. So it's like more important than a toothbrush to me in some ways. Now we play at home. We all play it through.
Sleep?
No.
No, you don't. You couldn't do it. Like, could you? No.
I don't think so because, well, first of all, maybe I could fall asleep, but I think what it does for me is those little noises at night, like whether it's a door creaking or the wind blowing or whatever, it sort of just gets rid of all that. So if I'm coming into a period of light sleep instead of it waking me up completely, I don't even notice it. And so it is, it's like, I like, and then I like you, James, I lay in bed, like I'm in a coffin. Like I just lay, I don't move. Like I take up like very little space. And I wake up the next morning, like exactly there. Don't toss and turn really. Even when I wake up, like my Whoop will say that I'm sleeping sometimes when I'm actually, cause I'm just so still. Cause they can't measure, like the only way you really know if you're sleeping is if you're measuring your brain waves. And so, these devices we have are good, but not perfect in knowing if the brain is actually asleep. Whether you're restful is one thing and your heart rate's low and all that stuff, but
true.
Yeah. Toothbrush, noise machine, eye mask. And then, have you guys ever been in hotels where the air doesn't work and it's hot? Okay. Last year, go to a client Christmas party. It's about 2 hours away. So I stay in an Airbnb and it's this like cute little loft. Go to the, and I'm like getting ready for the Christmas party and the heat in there is like crazy. And I'm trying to mess with the thermostat. And I go online and Google it to make sure I've got the right thing. I text the owner, whatever. They're like, oh, it should come down. I go to the Christmas party. I get back. It was like, it was a two-story loft. The bed was in the top part. It was like 28 degrees in the right by the door. I had to leave. I could not sleep. I had to leave in the middle of the night at like 2 in the morning, right after all the bars closed and I'm walking like with all my stuff and all these drunk people around. And there's like these drunk girls like, it's not safe here. What are you doing? Anyway, it's nice, like 25-year-old drunk girl walked me to my car and I drove and
so
I drove
you,
like.
You were like, I'm not drunk yet because I've not had the 24 hours of lack of sleep for the 0.1 of alcohol. So.
That's right. That's right. It was safer for me to drive home than it would have been the next morning with no sleep. It's crazy though. Cannot sleep in that like crazy heat. Anyway,
I think
the
temperature
AC is
does make a difference. Yeah. Go on, Stel. Tell us what the Greek guy does for sleep.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing for me was the morning ritual. As soon as I set a morning ritual in place, which includes meditation, working out, juicing, my journaling, you reminded me I need to do more of it. I do it just before bed too. There's a great book called The Artist's Way, and Julia Cameron's the one that wrote it, and she talks about the morning pages, which for me were the night pages. But when you, and it's literally 3 pages worth of journaling where you just put whatever on the pages, the magic happens after the, you know, page and a half, 2 pages in. Right, because you're writing what happened during the day, blah 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 blah, and then
is there any specific prompts or anything in the morning pages?
No,
it's just like write. Get up and start writing. Okay,
yeah, just you write, and the whole concept of the artist's way is to tap into your creative or your unconscious.
Yeah,
right. So when you write enough, you're depleting the things that are in your head, or at least addressing them, so that they don't need to come up when you're sleeping.
Right,
and then the other thing, knowing that. You know, we talked about in terms of the habits, one of the podcasts where, you know, you look forward to the feeling of the work, not initially, but over time you get this feeling of, okay, I'm going to work out. I'm going to feel good. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to feel good. Then 5:10, I don't even need an alarm clock. I wake up and then I have that structure in place so that it's easy for me to fall asleep at 10 o'clock. I'm tired, but B, it's because I need to sleep in order to look forward to what's going to be coming up as soon as I wake up in the morning. The other thing is when you wake up in the morning, that way you set up your day. Okay. Cause I don't know if you know of anyone that wakes up and it's just like chaos from the second that they wake up, and then they wonder why their whole day is chaotic. Right. Whereas, you know, you wake up with this type of a system in place, you're already calm. Your day works out just fine. So the calmer the day, I feel, the easier it is to go into the night without that craziness. But I mean, it's easier said than done, right?
I think that's a good point. Like, so like everything in our sort of human system, there's all kinds of things that are related. It's a complex system, right? So, you know, there's lots of talk about stress these days. And like we talked about in one of our episodes, like people are going. There's more information than they can process. Their calendars are more full than ever before. Like I'm one of those people. It's like, how do I fit all the things in? And practices for, you know, creating space and calm in the mind and in the body, and like breathing exercises. Like I teach yoga. I know when I'm in those stressful states, I will mindfully breathe. But, you know, if we're not intentional about it, we're just walking around breathing into our, you know, into our shoulders, and we're not getting full breath into the body and all that stuff. So it is true that how you live is going to impact how you sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's four questions that I ask patients. So we do what's called a neurovisual screening when somebody comes in for an eye exam, and we're basically looking for a sympathetic or fight or flight response. And when I see it, I ask these four questions. On a scale of 1 to 10, okay, how are your stress levels? On a scale of 1 to 10, how are you sleeping? On a scale of 1 to 10, how's your diet? And on a scale of 1 to 10, what am I missing? Sleep?
Exercise?
Exercise. Okay, how much exercise? And out of all of them, the most important one is sleep. Okay, and then the second question is, do any of the other three impact the sleep? And more often than not, they'll say it's the stress that doesn't allow me to.
I feel that. I do all those things. I focus on sleep, I exercise, I eat healthy, and life is full. And I built it that way, right? Like I'm the one committing to all the things and wanting to do all the things. And it's even positive stress. Like a lot of times I wake up and I'm thinking about something exciting. It's not always the pressure of anxiety or whatever. So how do you disconnect? And that's where meditation comes in. Or even like lots of people struggle to meditate and don't. It's the easiest, hardest thing to do in the world. I'm one of those people. But even like a moving meditation, like going for a walk and just focusing on your breath, no like podcast on or music or whatever, like even those types of things. Or even like being really mindful in whatever you're doing, if you're mowing the lawn or whatever it is, but like letting go into that versus
one thing.
I used to like in yoga, you come into a class and you go into Shavasana, and that's just corpse pose. You lay on the ground. And I used to like race to get to the studio early so I could practice Shavasana for like a half an hour before class so I could have time to think. And now I'm like, the last thing I want to do is rob my Shavasana moment with, you know, by thinking through it. Right. But it took me a little while to get to that. So,
yeah, it's the thing that you said in terms of the positive stress, right? Like you have enough things on your plate, and that's why I'm big on goals and organizing things that are going to be part of my 3-year plan, 10-year plan, 3-year plan, 1-year plan, and then quarterly plan. Yeah. And these are examples. Like I actually love being with you guys. It's exciting. Like James is coming, you know, January, we're going to be doing these things. Like it's already organized in the schedule. I prioritize it. You've heard the term before, set your big rocks first and then, you know, your little rocks afterwards, because then they don't fit. If you don't have big rocks in life, okay, and all that exists are the little rocks, your brain is on overdrive all the time. But if those big rocks get you excited, okay, again, you're adding more things that make you feel good, right? So next week, oh man, okay, I got to sleep. I got to get my morning ritual going on. I have to prepare for this thing. Right. You just, it's a good stress. It's a good excitement. And it also is a motivator for doing the healthy things, and sleep being one of them.
Yeah. I love that.
You know what I thought of as well? And we haven't brought it up. We've brought up, you know, diet and nutrition,
or, sex,
you know, health. Well, no. That,
that's I know not that's what you were going to say.
That's
oh, come on, James. You know, you want to say this.
it begins with S, but it's not sex. It's sugar.
Sugar. Oh, sugar's the worst.
I actually think that it's not alcohol. For me, it's not the alcohol. It's actually the sugar, that's content, in the alcohol. Because if I have let's say I have a dessert at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I have no alcohol at night, I actually feel the same or as bad the following morning as if I'd had one glass of wine and no dessert.
So
for me, it's actually not necessarily the alcohol, it's the sugar content within the food or the drink, which then plays, you know, works with your body and the glucose, whatever is happening throughout the night in the body, that has an impact on the sleep. So for me, it's it's actually the sugar content past kind of 5 o'clock. And bread, because obviously bread's full of sugar as well. So if I have bread, and you know, I don't just mean one slice, like sometimes, like last night we went to a Greek restaurant, Stel. And lots you end up bread. Having, and I love it. And I know you shouldn't, and you know, we all know that we shouldn't, but bread can taste amazing, especially when there's dips and things. But if I have a lot of bread, again, it is that I think the amount of sugar content within that is then maybe equivalent to one glass of wine, which then when I wake up the next morning, I go, you know, boom.
You know, such an interesting point, because, you know, I'm pretty focused on, I think we all are, around living the best life, having the most energy, living the longest with the greatest amount of health possible and all that. And so you can, and there are people in my life who are like, you know, maybe just relax a little bit, Mary, about it. And I get that, because, you know, at what point does the rule book for how you need to live and what you need to do and when you need to do it, you know, get in the way of just like spontaneous joy and indulging in things and stuff like that, you know? And, I mean, I think I have a good balance. I don't know. But that's tough. I know a lot of people who just like, screw it. You know, I actually, met with a guy who was in the senior living space for like 30 years, and we were having a meeting. It was a lunch meeting. I actually spent a couple of days together, and I was always like looking for the restaurants with salads, and they were like, don't worry about it, Mary. The majority of us are going to live to 70, no matter what. I think it was like 80% of us live to 70. So stop worrying so much about getting salad. Let's have fried chicken or whatever. I'm like, well, I actually enjoy salad. So it's not, I know it was, you know, burgers and fries and stuff like that. But there is the argument for, you know, the more you focus on it, the more you can get in the gap about it. Like I'm like, ooh, I'm splitting hairs. I was like, oh, I really wanted to have 3.5 hours of restorative sleep last night, not 3 hours and 20 minutes. You know, like you can get all spun up about it. And then is it robbing you of just like living the life? And I mean, you kind of said that with the Whoop. You're like, I was paying too much attention to the Whoop and it wasn't really helping me, so I got rid of it. It's kind of, you know, there's a lot of people out there who like do not talk about this, do not care about this. They drink what they want, they eat what they want, they go to sleep. Whatever impact that has on them.
That's okay. That's okay. There's no issue with that at all. I think for the people that are conscious of the fact that, look, I know I should be getting more sleep, I just don't know how or what little subtle things. And I do think tracking is important, because each body is different, right? And so, you know, how I'm going to react to 6 hours or sugar or whatever is going to be different to two of you. So I think play with it. Play with it and see, you know, because until you've got data to work with, you don't know. It's like anything. The data will drive the decisions that you make. So if you're getting 5, but it's good, you know, good quantity, then it's just a case of, well, how do I get more quantity in there rather than the quality side of things? And then you can start playing with, okay, do I change the routine? Do I change the room? Do I change, you know, do I kick the partner out of the bed and I go and sleep in the spare room?
Totally. My husband's a snorer, so he slept in a different room for years.
Oh, we didn't discuss that.
We did not discuss that. And I think it's a good marriage extender, actually, because sleep is so important. And then like, why should I not sleep? Because I'm a light sleeper and he snores. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, so I go through life sleep deprived just so that you can be in the same bed? Well, no, I think like I Love Lucy and Ricky Ricardo, didn't they have twin beds next to each other? There's something
Fred,
to that.
Fred and Wilma.
Fred and Wilma, that whole thing. Okay, so let's wrap it up with just one thing. If you wanted to improve your sleep, like, so, you know, if somebody's listening going, if I was just going to do one thing, what would it be?
I think for me, I'm going to go there, because it's personal to me, I'm going to go sugar, because that's the one thing that has an impact on me. So no sugar after, you know, kind of, let's say 5 o'clock PM.
Okay. Still?
The other S.
Well, none of it or more of it?
More of it.
More of it. There's something to that. Gosh, that would be an interesting episode if we ever go there.
Oh, let's go.
No. Come Luckily, on. We've only got a few minutes all about,
they want mischief. Look, we got 2 minutes left and That's we're getting true. Into we the mischief.
Promise. We did promise that. Well,
no, I'm going to say more things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Setting bigger intentions, bigger goals, things that are exciting. It's creating more space with amazing things. And then, like I said, my morning ritual is pretty darn good. It just getting there was the tricky part. That's done. And now it's how do I set my intentions with my big goals, my dreams, key relationships, knowing that,
I have 12 things, my friend.
Okay. But it's all one thing to me. It's just excitement. Big things. How's that? Lots of big things.
Setting the intentions around the things you love and that you look forward to. That's cool.
Yes.
I have
no shows.
Mine is routine. Mine's like go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. I would also add alcohol. Like, it's absolutely a sleep crusher. Do not do it if you want to sleep.
You can't do that. There's two. We said one.
I know. But then yeah. I was the final word, so I added it in. But if I had to choose, if I had to choose between alcohol and routine, that's a tough one. There's no question. Alcohol has an absolute, like, it just blows up my sleep. So there would be like, quit that. But most people won't want to quit that. And so routine, go to bed at the same time. Or have a day drink. Yeah. Day drink. Drink at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, go to bed at 10 p.m.
See?
You just can't drink from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Anyway.
Hi, everybody. Let's promote afternoon drinking.
Yeah. Don't drink. Actually, don't drink at all. That's right. Public service announcement. Alcohol is bad for you. All right, guys.
Anyway, on that note, yeah. We'll Thank you, guys. Later.
You guys are awesome. Ciao, guys.
And that's all for this episode of Meaningful Mischief. If you found value in today's conversation, you can subscribe wherever you podcast. And hey, spread the mischief yourself. You'll find all the links in the show notes. You can visit us at meaningfulmischief.com and follow us on Instagram at meaningfulmischief. Until next time, keep making meaning and have fun while doing it. This is Meaningful Mischief, signing off.